because this is the first Advent Sunday, I want to speak about hope. Romans chapter 5, we're going to read from verses 1 through 11, and we're going to read this in Jesus' name. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But not only so, but we glory in the tribulations also, knowing tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from his wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with us as we look at your word. We ask that you would strengthen us and give us courage in and through this word, that we would find the greatest gift that could be given, hope unto eternal salvation. Amen. We talk often about hope. We'll say it when we're doing different things. We'll talk about, I hope to go here, I hope to go there. I hope that when I get into my business, it'll succeed in this area. I hope that my in-laws make it in safely. Whatever the statement may be. We live with expectation is what we're saying when we talk about the word hope. Expectation is good. Which one of us would want to even get going in the morning if we didn't have a hope that maybe something would turn out okay? If you knew for definite reasons that your whole day was going to go horrible, would you really want to head into the office? Whatever your office may be. But it is the hope that we will achieve something, that we will do something, that there will be enough goodness in the day that it makes it worthwhile. Or at least, even in through the difficulty, we have a hope that we can fix some things to make it better, whether for ourselves or for somebody else. Hope is really very strongly tied to trust. It's like a feeling of trust. That I believe God will do this, especially when we speak in Christian terms. Jesus is the epitome of our hope. Everything is found in him. There is nothing that is found outside of him as far as the understanding of salvation. Paul turns around and he's trying to encourage. He's trying to strengthen that faith that's in us. And he turns around in this fashion and he says, since we have been justified, because he spent previous time in the previous chapter speaking about that justification by faith. So now he says, on account of that, he says, we have been justified by faith. It is by that power of faith working in our lives. He says, we have what? We have peace. We have peace with God. And that's really what brings this whole Christmas season to a full spectrum, is to come down to the understanding of this peace that we have with God the Father through the finished work of Jesus Christ. We turn around and we kick off this Advent season. Advent means great expectation, turning around and expecting for not only the coming of Christ in the Christ season, but actually for the second coming. We have this peace with God poured out to us in and through the faith that we have. With God through what? Jesus. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. That to me is such a blessing to consider in our day and age. We turn around and oftentimes we look in this world for some sort of peace. Something that'll bring us some comfort. Something that'll bring us, you know, a little bit of, relaxation, if we could say it in that way, because we're so high strung. We live in a very high strung kind of world. The peace is found in Him. That no matter what may the world throw at us, no matter what obstacles we may have, no matter what tomorrow morning may bring, that we would have this consolation, understanding that God loves us. That He gives to us to have this hope, to have this trust. And it's all founded in and through Jesus Christ. And then Paul continues to explain this to a greater detail to us. He says, through Him, remember the object, Jesus the Christ. He says, through Him, through Jesus, we have now obtained by faith. By faith into His grace. This faith that God gives. This faith that God gives. If you could say it this way, and I don't know how else to try to describe it. It's like a vacuum that pulls us towards the object, which is Christ. And He says, really, by this faith, we are pulled into this grace. It's beyond our own understanding. It's not something that we've worked for. It's not something that we've gained. This is a gift that God has given us. Now remember, He's coming all the way to the understanding of bringing us to that hope. He says, now we've obtained access by faith into His grace. Unearned merit, unmerited favor, whatever you want to say. He says, in which we stand. God makes us able by this faith, through this grace, able to stand. That's an amazing thing. That we would have the courage in our day and age, in our world, to stand up. To be more victorious than the problems around us. To be more victorious than the struggles in our own flesh. To be more victorious than what everybody else predicates to us. Because you know what? We have a lot of influence in this world. We have somebody always on our phone telling us who we are and what we are. We have somebody on the news telling us all the time. We put music in our head and it tells us what we are or what we should be. And oftentimes, I can't blanket statement it, but oftentimes it's false. This gospel of Jesus Christ that we have received as a gift of God now turns around and instills within us faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the word of God. Faith now instills within us the understanding of what we've received. Grace. We've received grace. And we stand in it firm, not by our own abilities, but by that gift given of God. And He says, and now how do we face the world? Now how do we face the difficulties? Now how do we face tomorrow? We rejoice. He says, we stand firm in that faith, understanding that grace. He says, where we rejoice in what? In the hope. In that trust of the glory of God, the revealing of God in our lives. That no matter what we may be going through, no matter what we may face, that God would be glorified. He would be revealed when we are standing in Him through all these situations. Have you ever watched someone go through difficulty? Watch them maybe, you know, and we say watch. I mean, oftentimes we watch on Facebook, we watch on different things. And I'm going to pick on my friend Ed because he's over in Mayo still. And I've been watching him. Isn't that what we call it? And we all know Ed. At least most of us know Ed. I know his family knows Ed. Hopefully they know him. His faith has been amazing. The ability to speak about what he's going through. The ability to minister to others going through this. See, it's not it. It is that faith that God has given. It is the understanding of grace that He has received, that He's able to stand firm in. And I'm picking on one individual, but can you not tell me that you've seen this in other people's lives? That you've literally turned around and said, how do they do it? It's not by their own strength. It's not by their own ability. It is by that faith and that grace that God gives to His believers to be able to stand up in the circumstances, and that we would understand and know the finished work of Jesus Christ in our behalf, so that it would reveal, no matter what we're going through, that it would reveal the glory of God. I remember one of my seminary pastors used to teach all the time, and he would tell me, he said, we need to suffer and suffer well in and through Jesus Christ. And we can. And I thought, what's he, nuts? How do you suffer well in and through Jesus Christ? I've been a pastor only for about probably 12, 13 years. If it's 13, maybe that's why you're getting goofy messages. It might be the bad luck year. We'll go back to the other ones later. But the fact of it is, and God has shown me through other people's lives the experience of them living like this. Because you'll turn around and you'll watch elders and you'll watch them go through things and you wonder, how can they do it? How can they stand to this? How can they actually face the difficulties they have each and every day? And you realize it is that hope that they have. It is that trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ that they can stand, as my brother Ed has even prayed with me, that whatever we go through, that would bring honor and glory to God. We have them. We have them in this congregation. We have them throughout this community. We have these kind of individuals that have exemplified that faith, that grace, because they have that hope. They have the hope of their God that has redeemed them and given them all things. Can we be a light to this world? He says, man, we rejoice in that hope and that revelation of God. And really, it talks very strongly. Isn't Jesus Christ that? 2 Corinthians says it very plainly, the gospel of the glory of Christ. In reality, who is the image of God? That's what we trust in. It's beyond our circumstance. And then Paul goes into even greater detail. He says, not only that, he says, but actually we can turn around and we can rejoice in our sufferings. Doesn't mean that we have this morbid understanding of it, that we're excited to suffer. That might be a mental illness if someone's excited that way. Really what he says is that now we can live in and through Jesus Christ, victorious over what the circumstances of our flesh are. And we can give Him honor and glory in all of it. This is a hard thing to explain. It's almost as you need to experience it to understand it. But I really believe if we've raised children, if we've done other things in our lives, that we've experienced this. I'm a baby. I am. I don't like pain. I don't like to suffer. I don't like any issues. And I'll tell you, when I turn around and God really spoke to me while we were going through cancer, I didn't want to face it. But God gave strength. I don't talk about this. I can pick on myself. I already picked on my friend Ed a little bit. But I've seen this, and you've all seen it with him. It's a strength beyond him. And I am telling you, the first one, that I would be the first one to crawl in the corner and say, why me? Why am I going through this? But yet, when God also came with me, or actually took the lead, or whatever you want to say, there's no proper words, going through the experience, He gives a strength that is beyond your comprehension. That we were able to go through it, asking that God would receive all honor and glory. See, I had people that would come up to me and say, well, why? And this sounds conceited, but this is what they'd say. You're a pastor. Why would God give you cancer? He didn't. God will preserve me if He wants to through this. But we live in a fallen world. That's very evident. There's disease all around us, and why not? Why? Because of what a mission I have. Why would I be spared from anything of this world? Isn't that what Christ says? He says, you see the things that happen to me? Greater, bigger things are going to happen to you. Rougher things are going to try you in more ways. But you turn around and you hear this kind of statement. Why? Why would God give it to you? Why not? We live in a fallen world. He didn't give it to me, but He can see me through it. See, this is what He's talking about. He says we can rejoice in suffering because we understand that suffering is not by the hand of God pressing down on us. He can preserve us through this, what this world will throw at us. But honestly, what comes down to is then God gives this instinct, or at least He did for myself and my wife. Lord, we don't know the outcome of this, but may it be used for honor and glory in Your kingdom. That same prayer has been prayed with me by Ed, and I've prayed with him. The circumstances of our life are not wasted if we enter into it in the hope of Jesus Christ, who is the revealing of God. That we can take the circumstances of this earthly life, and that we can enter into this world, not for our own glory, but for the glory of God, and say, whatever may be, may it bring you honor and glory. And this is what Paul is trying to say. He says, now, he says, not only that, we rejoice in our struggles, in our sufferings. He says, knowing that actually these struggles and these sufferings, they bring, in fact, endurance. Continuance. They make us stronger. Maybe you think I'm crazy on this, but I've watched other people suffer. I remember being in a little congregation such as Alston, and before I was even diagnosed, I had elders that would sit down at the table with me and they'd tell me about their battles with cancer, and one of them was 3 times. I thought, wow, to be able to go through something like that and still give honor and glory to God. I lost my father-in-law that same year to cancer. I lost my stepfather, who I love very much, to cancer. And I watched them suffer and suffer well. It's not that they enjoyed it, but they kept their eye on the prize. And then when I received the news, it was this confidence, I believe, given by the Holy Spirit. And not saying everybody's going to react in the same way, but it wasn't me. And it was those stories of those ladies. It was watching my loved ones go through it that gave me the courage I can face it too. This kind of stuff is not just for the one going through it. It is also for the body. He says very plainly, he says, we rejoice. We can take confidence in our suffering because we take confidence that this suffering will continue to give endurance, that we can go on. Come on, we've seen this with parents, haven't we, as children? You watch children go through steps and they fumble. We don't give up on them. We understand that that will build character for them to be able to continue on and learn and grow. We understand that with our checkbook, don't we? Where we've looked at, there's a lot more month at the end of the money and we wonder, how will we ever do it? But yet God brings us through. And then we turn around the next month and say, God has done it before. He'll do it again. That's what he's speaking about. There is this life in Christ that continues to give us this hope. So he turns around and he says very plainly, he says, this difficulty, these struggles, they build up endurance. They give us continuance. He says, and this endurance actually makes integrity or character, allows us to mature as Christians. It's not progressive sanctification. The more we do, the better we're saved. That's a bunch of garbage. We are saved in and through Jesus Christ by grace through faith. Or faith through grace. Sorry, guys, look at this chapter here. We have this endurance. It is a gift. He says very plainly, now, when we go through this time of continuance, this time of endurance, it'll allow us to mature as Christians. He says, and this integrity feeds more hope. We trust God all the more. These aren't for a waste. The difficulties aren't for waste. They're not for, you know, just a waste of time. God does not take pleasure in watching us struggle We live in a fallen world. We will struggle. But we will do it much better with Him, in Him, and through Him. That's really what Paul is trying to bring to us. He says, and hope, he says, it doesn't make us ashamed. And this isn't saying, well, now we're all embarrassed about the gospel and we're not going to ever face people. That's not what it's saying. Shame is more of a letting down is what this brings out. You will not be disappointed. Some of your translations may say that. He says, this hope does not make us shame, let us down. He says, because God's love has been poured into our hearts. God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We become partakers. See, we're not going through it alone. We are going through it, and God also is there present with us going in and through this. See, this is the whole thing. God loves us so much. He didn't want us to journey alone. So He gave Himself as an offering so that He could enter. If you want to say it this way, we were corrupt vessels, unable to even come close to the Holy Spirit. But yet now, by the finished work of Jesus Christ, paying the sin debt in reality of the world, by grace through faith, we come to this understanding of who God is. We are now worthy. Not of ourselves. It sounds like a bad word, doesn't it? Let's say this word. Able. We are able to partake of the Holy Spirit. He says God pours His love into our hearts. He says through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. He is our strength. He says, for while we were still weak, in other words, we had no ability to do anything for ourselves, at the perfect time, it says right time, at the perfect time, Christ died for who? The righteous? The holy? The sanctified ones? The ones that say God's peace in the right way? The ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. Jesse forgets this. His humanness forgets this. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His only begotten Son. That's not separated because of the faith. He still poured it out. That whosoever believes may have eternal life. He says, in the perfect timing, God didn't wait for us to get our act together. God didn't wait for us to have all our checks in the right boxes. He says, He died for the ungodly. He died for me. He says, you know what? Scarcely, we understand this in an earthly sense. He says, scarcely, He says, would one even die for a righteous man, an individual that we see as right. He says, maybe, perhaps, He says, for a good person, someone who we have high integrity for, we might take a bullet for. He says, but He's giving an opposite of this. He said, but God shows His love to us. God pours His love out in this fashion. While we were separated, helpless, sinners, Christ died for all. Hear those words. Paul, who was at one time a Pharisee of Pharisees, is speaking this. He didn't die for a select few. He died for all. He died for the heathen. He died for the unbeliever. He died for anyone else that you can imagine in your worst state. But what good is it if they don't know it? The scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of they that carry the gospel. But in reality, what good is it if no one goes out and preaches it? He says very plainly, Christ died for us. He says, since therefore we have been justified by His blood, in other words, His redeeming work has paid for our sin debt, He says, how much more will we be saved from saved by Him from the wrath? He says, for while we were enemies, we were brought back, is what He says, to God by the death of His Son, because sin brings death. And Christ took that upon Himself. He says, much more now, through that resurrection, through His life, we will be saved. Doesn't matter what the world throws at us. This is a positive. And then he turns around and he says, and above and beyond everything else I spoke, even though I talked about struggles, even though I talked about turmoil, even though I talked about all those things, there is this hope that is above everything. More than that, he says, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. We've been bought. That's really what he speaks about. You want a great hope? When you were helpless, when you had no ability to do anything for yourself, God bought you. There was a debt that was piled up for each and every one of us that would fill this room with hundies. We couldn't pay it. But God loved us so much, he gave his only son. He gave us the power of his message to be able to receive this, that we would have this hope that would be above and beyond all our circumstances. That the debt that would fill this room is paid. We are free. We don't like to hear it at all times. We want someone to pay a pound of flesh for something. It's received by grace through faith because it is a gift of God. May we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, as Paul says, that we may have that hope and instill a hope into this world. May we not gauge our faith or our standing with God by the circumstances of our earthly life, because that'll never satisfy. It is through the circumstance we know the assurance of God, and we can speak that to a world that is full of circumstances. We have that hope. May we be blessed, and may God continue to bless each and every one of you through this Advent season. May we have hope. And then we will, in reality, learn of the rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the mercy. We thank you for the strength. And most of all, we thank you for the unmerited favor that we receive in and through Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that we could enter into this world with a great hope of expectation, a true trust in your justification. Father, may we never gauge ourselves according to the circumstances, but rather see you above and beyond the circumstance. That you would give us the strength and the integrity to go through what we must grow through and to learn what we must learn going through the situation to be able to glorify you, to glorify your work, to strengthen our families, to strengthen our churches, to strengthen, in reality, humanity and the understanding of your provision through all things. Father, we ask that you'd be with us in the upcoming week, that you would strengthen us and that you'd provide for us also, and that we would continue to receive from you to be able to give to the world that great hope. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.